I want you to take my scripture reading this morning from Mark chapter 4, a little part there, and really I didn't prepare for this, but it's in my mind because I'm going to preach on it on Sunday, so I've been preparing, but not exactly what I'm going to say now, so I'm very interested in what I'm going to say, okay, and I want you to reply on this, one or two of you, if I'm finished, please, if you can add to it, it will be nice, especially with Michael, so you don't feel too bad today, okay. Read you from verse 35 on chapter Mark 4. Please follow with me. And perhaps the previous verse is actually the context. So you're always reading context, isn't it? Context, 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 always. Otherwise you get lost. The whole Bible is in context, okay. So we read just the verse before it. He says, with many parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak with them without a parable, but privately, that's to his disciples, to his own disciples, he explained everything. They knew. Well, they should. But it sounds now, when what happens now, they don't know. What, how much time do I have? Because I can abuse time, you know. No, but how much? A lot. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, right. You know the preacher that said, "How many? Who's giving me 5 minutes?" Raise your hands. Who's giving? Raise your hands. You know that one? Who's giving me 5 minutes? Nobody. Okay. Yeah, everyone raising says 5, 10, 20. Okay. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. So this is another storm than the one that Peter walked on the water. Okay? It's a different storm here. They took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, that's in the back of the boat, asleep on the cushion. He was very easy there. He was enjoying his peace on a cushion. Let's read the words there. Some translations leave that word out. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? Or have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and said to one another, "Who then is this?" Or other translations will say, "Who is he? That even the wind and the sea obey." Who is he? And you can make a whole sermon just on who is he, and then you can start preaching about who is Jesus, really. And if you go to Kenneth Hagin and Copeland and those guys, they say they are Christ incarnated. We just had it, Michael. And that lady, Copeland lady, she even said she can direct a hurricane. She says it. She can pray a hurricane away from her house. That's power, I tell you. Everyone wishes to have such a power, isn't it? Because they believe, and as we did, you had the class just now, that man, saved man, is sort of Jesus himself, because you are now filled with the Spirit and his powers. So you can do what Jesus did. So even people having this little band, what did Jesus do? Do you know that? What can Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Because you must do what he did. You must take, if you have one like that, throw it as far away as possible, because you can never do what he did. He died for our sins. You can never even think what he did. You can try to listen what he reveals about himself, but John says if everything that we know about Jesus would be written in a book, there will not be enough books. You cannot contemplate who he is. Okay, so that was the problem here. He was teaching his disciples for a long time now, Okay, in 2 years or 3 years, how many of you are second year or more? I'm talking to you, okay? So you know all. He said it in the previous verse. He said he taught them, he explained everything. What does he mean? He's explaining who I am because he came to be God amongst us. God with us, Emmanuel, he came. They didn't see it until he explained it to them. He even spoke in code language, parables. The world shouldn't know, but his children, his disciples, because they would be sent out as apostles, teaching the world, preaching the world. They had to know. He gave them the code. They knew, but for some reason they couldn't see. And we know at the end that God still kept their eyes a little bit closed so that Jesus could die on the cross. And at the end, when the Holy Spirit came, their eyes were really opened and they were preaching like mad, isn't it? Okay. It happened like that. But at this stage, we see they couldn't really see what was happening. Yeah, they couldn't really know. And he is now sort of blaming them if he says to them in verse 14, "Have you still no faith?" He expects from them to know what is going on, who he is. He is the Messiah. I mean, all the prophets that they know in the Bible that he was teaching them, the whole Bible school they had with him was teaching the Messiah. And then even John said it in front of them, "There is the Lamb of God." And he appeared on the mountain with Moses and Elijah and all that kind of stuff. And he did the miracles that he prophesied about. All the prophecies were fulfilled in front of their eyes. Do you still, can you feel the pain of Jesus? Do you still not know? Now the verse of this passage that I would preach about on Sunday would be that little verse. Do you still have no faith? Do you still not know who I am? Know me? Because faith is knowing Jesus. It's nothing more to it. It's just knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. Knowing God in Jesus revealed. Knowing Jesus crucified. And they're still on that, their own track. So, what is their faith? They have a kind of faith that when they're in trouble, God has to take care of them. Look their words, because they're blaming Jesus. They said, that's verse 38. "Teacher, do you not care?" And I really think, and this is my message, let's make it short and sweet and short. Many of us think that God doesn't care if we are in a little storm. I say a little storm because your storm might be huge. It's always big. I don't know if you can understand Afrikaans, but in Afrikaans we say you always feel something like martel varkie. That's a little martyr in yourself. You are, how would you say that in English? A pig of martyr. Something like that?
Piglet martyr.
Piglet martyr, okay. Huh? When you have a little trouble, financial or work or marriage trouble, or just trouble, any trouble, relationships or health, it's a storm to you, isn't it? And it's all about me, myself, and I, that my problem must be fixed. But you forget that you are actually part of a huge storm which started when they ate from the tree. When God said, if you do that, then the storm of my wrath will separate you from me. You'll go to hell. You'll die. So there are many people that take a lot of theology, mix it all up, but this is what I see. Many people think when God isn't answering their prayers as they want it to, as they want to manipulate God to do it, they must do this for me and that for me. They would think God is not, he says, he's not caring. Do you not care? Do you not worry about my problem? My problems always come first. Always. That's how we do it. He lies in the back of the boat. Why? On a cushion, at ease. He's resting. He has been working hard. If you look back, he's been working hard. This is showing us he was really God incarnated. He was really human. He was tiring when he was working. So they take him into the boat. He says, just as he was. He was tired. Put him in the boat. The back lies asleep. And then when they're in trouble, they see the storm where they think they're going to die. They wake him up, blaming him that he's not helping. He should help them to get the water out of the boat. But what they're not seeing, brothers and sisters, is the wonderful fact that when he woke up and he sees the storm, it's nothing to him. He speaks to the storm with three words. Be still. Peace. Be still. Three words. Like, almost like the Creator. Just a word, and it was. It's the powerful God himself. And he says to them, do you not know who I am? You see, to us, it's always about this little storm of ours. But to him, your storm is so small if you relate it to the storm that he is heading for. He's heading for Calvary. That is why he came. He didn't come for your little storm. He came for the storm of the universe. Even the angels are waiting for Jesus, expecting him to save them from the demons that are giving them trouble all the time. As Peter says, that they're longing to see. They can't understand. The whole universe is in trouble because of one disobedience. And the wrath of God is upon this world. And Jesus said, I came for that. I didn't come for you. I didn't come to heal a few people. He did that to show who he was. He didn't come to heal. He came to save from the wrath of God. It's a different picture. Do you see? Because if you understand this, you understand prayer. Prayer is not to see what you can get from God. And if you don't get it, God, don't you care? And then you put your finger in God's eye. Never do that. You can't blame God for your troubles. You must blame Adam. And you know Adam is can you follow my hand? Adam is I. Because I'm a son of Adam. And I always ask myself the question, what would I do when I was Adam? We wouldn't make the same mistake. So don't blame me. Say, I am the son of Adam and Eve. Okay? So don't blame God. But look at Jesus. What is he? He says, do you still have no faith? Do you still not know who I am? I didn't come to get you to the other side of the sea. I came to get you into heaven again. I came to get you in a perfect relationship with God, my Father. And for that I have to rest. For that I have to rest on the stern of the boat, on the cushion. I have to have some rest. Some comfort. You don't even let me be. Because you are more important. Like I said, in a different way, when Jesus is now showing them, he says, do you not know the bigger picture? The bigger picture is, I am on my way to Golgotha. We're still going to Jerusalem. I will not die in this storm, I know that. I'm actually in control of this storm. I'm testing your faith. Does God allow suffering and storms in your life? Yes. The class you had now, did you read that verse, Michael? On the board, it's still there. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, God is in control of life and death, sickness and health. He says it. I bring it. He said Moses, like 4,000 years ago, he said. God is sovereign. He even uses the storm to test their faith. Because when he dies on the cross, they have to believe that he came for much greater stuff than your personal little troubles you have. You can manage with that. You have to preach. Let me just focus on us here and teach who Jesus really is. He's the Savior of the world. So he has the bigger picture, and that's what you have to believe. That is what faith is about. You believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he, what you can't do, you can't see the bigger picture. Never. So you pity yourselves, because you only see your small picture, your family, your trouble, your church, your land, your country. Huh? So we're so worried about ourselves, but Jesus got much more in mind. And yes, he has bigger plans for us. His plan for us is not prosperity in this world, because that's a small picture. You have prosperity for a week, or for a year, or a BMW, or an airplane, or whatever they preach to you. And then he says, I want to give it you for everlasting, I give you everlasting life. Much more. You see how it fits in, Michael, with your class? I've got more in stock for you. I've got really more than what the devil promises you. Temporal stuff, and wealth, and riches, and stuff that won't last. Thieves will steal it, and moths will eat it, isn't it? The stuff of this world is the small picture. Don't long for the world. Long to know the Jesus that is God's bigger picture. The Savior of the world. Now if you look seriously, and I'll end up with this. Look seriously into this passage. Look at it, please. There are two places where they are terrified in that passage. If you can find it. Let's go quickly into it. Two places. There are, the one is not said and one is said. 37, and a great storm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, and he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care? What is that? They are frightened to death. I mean, these are seamen. They were fishermen. They were not afraid. But there was a squall. There was a big storm. They were terrified. The boat was filling. They were already thinking, we are dying. I can tell you, I can give you bad news. Lappy, can I tell you some bad news? But you know you're dying. In our church, when you're baptized in the form of baptism, it says, though this life, this child was born, or this person was born to die. And then he's giving the gospel. We're all dying. So when the day comes that you die, you can call upon God, of course. But don't blame him. You can't go back. You must blame. You must blame the right people if you want to blame. And actually, you can only blame yourself because you're a sinner. And sin brought death into this world, and trouble and destruction and corruption and all the bad things. Don't focus on that. Because it will be there tomorrow. If you get a new president, there's no corruption, whatever, you cannot change the world just by a prayer or by blaming. You see the bigger picture. God wants us to go through this world and the troubles and the storm of this painful world, focusing our eyes on Jesus, even if he's asleep. Because while he's still asleep, he is still God. And that is why from the one fear in this passage, the fear of the storm, the fear in your life, the little trouble of your life, you have to change the fear. Look what it ends up with. He says, and he said to them, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. Then 41. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is he? You follow my argument here? Fear in your troubles. And I don't diminish and think small of your worries. And I don't think God does that. It's difficult times. But it has been since paradise. Since sin came into the world. There's been trouble and trouble and trouble. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. God knows that. But that's why he sent his son. So that we can know him and we can fear him more. And the fear of God is respect. Because if we give that to him, you will also see his loving kindness. Even when he doesn't take your troubles away. He can, with one word, peace, be still, and the storm passed. Just like that, in a moment. He can. Because he is what he is. But even if he doesn't do that, because of Jesus, he will not forsake you. Because Jesus was forsaken. He went all the way and he completed, he fulfilled the big picture of salvation. And he said, now God is Emmanuel. God is with you in the storm, through the storm, and right into eternity. I will not leave you and let you be. Never. My point this morning is, do you also fear God more than you fear the future and the problems and even the disasters of this world and your life? Because if you do that, he will strengthen your faith to soar like an eagle above it. It will be there. But in faith, you know, in the greater picture, you will not perish. Because God cares. Do you not care, Master? Of course do I care. But I care more than for one day. One little problem. I care for your soul and your everlasting life. And for your family and their lives. And for your church and so many people that have to be saved. And that is why you are here. Because you have a call. And you have to go out and tell the world. There's much more to be saved than those little storms. God really cares. He cares so much he gave his son. He gave himself. Yes, he emptied himself for you. Became your slave. But now he's not your slave anymore. Remember that. He's not a slave anymore. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's the King. We are his servants. Lord, how can I serve you? With or without my troubles? How can I serve you? How can I become a servant leader? Even if you have to lead the whole college here, Yapi. Just still a servant leader, teacher, student, a pastor. You deserve nothing. But you get everything if you believe that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Fear him. Believe in him. Preach and teach him. My hope as chairman and as pastor and as brother of yours is that the Lord will put his fear into your hearts. That you never abuse this word. Never take it the easy way or this absolutely cursed prosperity gospel that we had in the classroom. It was terrifying actually to see what they say. Some of them claim themselves to be Jesus, to be God. But you'll see that will not be blessed. Fear him that is in control of your life, not only here, now, but forevermore. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave yourself to us in your Son. Because as you, your Son is God. He is God. He is the second person of Trinity, and we can't even contemplate what we're saying. We can't even understand it. We can just confess it. We confess your word as the truth. And we confess Jesus as the Word of God, as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in control of more than my little problems. Yes, you have compassion for our pain and our troubles, for sure. You are full of mercy and loving kindness, and you take care of us. But even in suffering, you take care of us, because then you are helping us to bow the knee and the stiff necks, to worship you and to fear you more, and to be dependent on you. So Lord, use anything. Make us obedient into your service. Thank you for abiding with us, because you were alone on that cross, God forsaken. You will never forsake us. Thank you for this wonderful belief that we can have. You are the Messiah that was promised. You are the living Word. You are the Son of God. You are glorified in heaven. You are the King of Kings. We bow before you and we worship your name, and we put our lives in your service. And we, Lord, just use us wherever you want. And make use of all our abilities. Especially as we're preparing for servicing your kingdom, Lord, for service in your kingdom. We pray that you will, with your Holy Spirit, strengthen us as promised. Give us the power of the Spirit to preach the truth, to know more and more, and look deeper into your word and find what you want to say to us, and teach it to the world. And bless our work. Bless our college here and all the campuses. Everybody involved, our principal that is far abroad, Yapi, who leads us now, we pray that you give them special wisdom and strength and guidance. And protect us, Lord, against the evil one that is always opposing this beautiful work. And just use us. And wherever you call us, let us go. Let us fear you more than we fear the world. Because you are King and Lord, and you are the only one that should be feared. We ask you to forgive us all our trespasses and sins and wrongs, and cleanse us, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, where we are mistaken, where we have gone wrong, will you heal us and complete us and make us whole again, so that we can be more and more servants of to your glory. And we pray that you bless us today with all our, those that are dear to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name, the most precious name under heaven. Amen. Thank you.